good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's good to see you all. Thank you for joining us as we conclude the last part of this series, Matters of the Heart. So today we're going to do something a little bit different than what we normally do. Tara and I are going to tag team this. How many guys were here at Hope Community Church whenever we first started and Tara and I were preaching together? We were tag teaming. Anybody show your hands? So we have a few people. And we realized that we are completely different and opposite people, and so we stopped doing that. But today we will be joined back, and we will just share with you just hopefully some strengthening and encouraging things that you can bring into your marriage, and or if you're single, that you can also glean from this as well. And so we will be talking about marriage today, and so we will be talking about things that have to do with marriage. So if you have any kids that you don't want them to hear the message, you might want to send them to children's church. And having said that, we're going to get started this morning with a video. If we can show that video, please. Thank you very much.
One of the great challenges of life is our sexuality. We've been given it in our humanity, and God has given us parameters for the exercising of it. When that fire leaves the fireplace, stuff starts to burn down, doesn't it? Our own lives, our own guilt, our own relationships, because it's a fire run wild. It has left the compartment that God has created for it, which is, of course, marriage. But I've got good news for you today. God forgives. Throughout the Bible, you see many sexual failures, but you also see the forgiveness and grace of God healing those who have disobeyed him in this area. The Bible makes this a unique sin, because it's a covenantal sin. And it affects you and your well-being as well as others who are affected by immorality. One of the great things that God does in the Bible is that he sanctifies sex. He doesn't make it a bad thing. He doesn't make it a negative thing. He calls it a beautiful thing. In fact, there's a whole book that celebrates sex, Song of Solomon. So God is not against it. He's for it. He wants to promote it. He just wants you to have a high view of marriage for it. But when we have operated outside of it and are bearing the consequences of it, and there are many illustrations of that in the Bible, he has a cleaning service. He can clean us up. He can wash us. He can iron us so that we become spiritually pure again and can go on with our lives having been healed of our moral failures. So don't give up on yourself or others who are getting right with God, because God knows how to show compassion to the repentant in this area.
Amen. Awesome. So God created sexuality. He gave it as a gift to a husband and a wife, and it is a beautiful thing. How many married couples will say it is a beautiful thing? Amen. And you are thankful for the gift. Amen. But he also talked about there are parameters inside that God has set up, that God has instituted regarding a man and a woman, and sexual intimacy is. First of all, it is between a man and a woman. Our culture would say otherwise. Our culture would say it can be whoever or whenever. But no, the Lord would say it is between a man and a woman. And there's a blessing that comes upon this. And it's in the context of marriage. And so whenever we do things God's way, that he really blesses that. If we honor God, God will be true to us and he will honor us as well. And so you want to jump on in and...
Yeah. So we're talking about honoring God with your love. And what does that look like? In our culture, that is glorifying sexuality, that is glorifying sex outside of marriage, outside, all kinds, and just the world is so different. Even if you're older in the room, if you're older and it's a little bit old school versus now and what the kids are growing up with and young people and to parents in the room, if you think that your kids are going to school and not hearing about sexual things, you are sadly mistaken, because that is all that they are hearing about in any form or any capacity, and every song exudes it. The song of the year this year exudes just blatant sexuality, but not a covenant relationship, not a parameter of love. It's just blatant sexuality. And so we're looking at that and saying, okay, what is the parameter? Why does God have it? I always struggled with that as a young person. I always struggled because I always thought it was something that people didn't want me to do because they had fun and I couldn't have fun. And so I didn't really get the picture. And I remember I was in 12th grade and I had very strict parents. Back in the day, you had strict parents. You were scared to go home and say something to them, you know, about what you were doing. So I stayed pure my senior year. I'm in there, and a woman, she's a counselor, a Bible counselor, and she talked to us her story about how she had a boyfriend, eventually had sex with them, and then all of a sudden he left her. And I thought, well, I don't want anybody to leave me after I just had, you know, a covenant kind of relationship, intimacy. And so I looked at it and I said, wow, I see the picture that God is trying to paint inside of why. Because I always want to know why. I'm not a natural born rule follower. Some people are. This one on the side, I just follow every rule. You know, I don't. I want to know why. And so for me, the picture is that God was displaying the covenant relationship that he has with us, that he does not jump from person to person. He does not jump from, you know, like we're not to jump from God to little God. So in the same way, God is saying, hey, you are painting a picture. Your sexuality is painting a picture to the world outside of who I am and the bride of Christ. That's and right. So we're looking at that this evening and say, hey, look, let's honor God with our love and the way that we do this. Let's do this a biblically based way.
Amen. And so we're going to jump into some scripture this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and just kind of read along with me. It says this in verse 20. It says, "And giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Now, husbands, there's a longer part for us, all right? And so the Lord is really dealing with the husbands. He's like, look, I got to speak even more to you guys. And so our parts are pretty responsible. Look at it in verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So right now we see in picture, we see just a glimpse of Christ's love, and the way that Christ has demonstrated his love towards us, the way that we can get his a picture of his love is through the marriage covenant relationship. And so it is a picture. Christ's love for us is a, you know, or our love for our wives is a picture of Christ's love for us. His love is unconditional, it is sacrificial. He laid down his life for his bride, for his beloved, for his church. He laid it down. And so in the same way, husbands, we are called to that kind of love. We are called to that kind of sacrificial type of love where we lay down our lives. We lay down in our wants and our desires in order to serve our wives. We lead by servant leadership. And I have a quote from John Piper that really hits the head on our role as leaders, it says this: headship is the divine calling of a husband to take primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership, protection, and provision in the home. So whenever we, in other words, what that comes to is that, hey, your wife is not your slave. Your wife is not someone you're just going to dominate over. Your wife is not someone you're just going to push around. But no, you guys are in this thing together, and you love her in the same way that Christ loved the church. And you think about that. Christ said that he came to serve and not to be served. This was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And yet he came to be a servant. He came to prefer his bride. He laid down his life for our benefit. It was for our good pleasure that, you know, it was for our forgiveness of our sins that he went to the cross. It was for us. He laid down his life for us. And so whenever we have that type of servanthood mentality, that we're going to serve our wives. That means you pitch in, and whenever you see the chores that need to be done, you take out the trash, and you mow the lawn, and you clean the tables, and things like that. See, you guys are in this thing together. She is not your slave. You're not to dominate over her. You're not to say it's my way or the highway, but yet we are to love in a servant leadership mentality. And so whenever we do that, then it enables the wives to fulfill their roles, and which is
submit. And no one wants to do that. Like, that is not a word in culture that we love. That, like, oh yeah, let's just submit. But again, if you're looking at the picture, if you keep on going back to that in your head, that the picture is of God and us, the church. And so we are a picture of the bride of Christ. And so whenever Ted is servant leader, isn't that Jesus? Isn't that what Jesus did for us? And then whenever I submit or surrender, I think is a better word, I always want to surrender to the Lord. I want to submit my will unto his will. And so that's not saying you get to have every opinion and you get to choose every single thing, you know, like, you know, every decision is yours. We do that together. Like in our marriage, we make decisions together, but it's saying that he is covering the decisions. Ultimately, he is covering the decisions of us, our family, and he gets the responsibility. He stands before the Lord, and he will make sure that, you know, God will ask him, how did he do that? And so how did he honor God? And so, and I struggle as a woman, a sort of active woman. I don't know what I am. But I struggle with the surrender. There have been some times where we haven't made that decision together. Or I just sort of made a decision on, and I'm not talking about like little small decisions like where you go out to eat. I'm talking about big decisions, ministry decisions, and they were wrong. I was wrong. And I never asked Ted, what do you feel about that? And so I had to walk out some trouble in my life, if you would. And then a couple years later, I'm trying to backtrack. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. And he's like, yes, I always knew you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, man, if I would have just surrendered and said, okay, I'm going to listen to what God speaks to your husband. He speaks to your man. And if you have a God-fearing man, and so it's just a relationship saying, okay, let's look at that. Let me surrender to that. And we have an example of, whenever we have a dress here. Now, this is not a very expensive dress because we didn't want to ruin. But what's happening right now is whenever we have stains, we do things outside of the parameters that God has set. Whether you were single and you were outside the parameters and you were having sexual intimacy outside of that, or in marriage, if you were having adultery, and are looking at websites. I mean, we can go into some, you know, sites that are just as bad as actually doing it. And so we're looking at that, and what we're doing is we're staining. And so am I going to hold it? I'm going to hold it. And so this is a beautiful David's bridal dress. This is a nice dress, and this is probably very expensive. and so this is a much nicer one than the first service. And so whenever we live outside of the parameter, we are staining the picture, whether you are young or old. And so this is real paint too. So what you are doing is you are saying, God, my way is better, and my thoughts are better. And so what you're doing is each encounter or each view or each thing that you're doing is outside the will of God. And you are staining the picture that God is trying to present to the world. And so no one in their right mind, not one person in here as a woman, would wear this dress out in public, you know, stained, full of paint and dirty. And yet what we're doing is this is the picture that we're displaying of Christ. We're saying, I can do what I want. I can honor God with my worship. I can honor God with my reading. But we honor God with all of us. All of us. Our tithe, but our sexuality, we honor God in the way that we live. And so looking at that and saying, God, I want to honor you. I want to do this correctly within your parameters, and that they're good parameters. They're good parameters. They save you from a whole lot of heartbreak and a whole lot of heartache and all kinds of disease as well. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I just threw that one in. That was extra, the disease part. And so, but it's true. And so we're living within the parameters, displaying the picture of Christ, and Amen. Saying that my singleness displays the picture of Christ. I'm waiting on the Lord, just like as we would. We're waiting on God to return. But my marriage displays the singleness of God. And we would say, as pastors, if you are single and you are sexually intimate, biblically, we would say, stop. Mm-hmm. Stop doing it. Stop. Ask people accountability, whatever. Stop. And then look at that relationship. Sexual intimacy will confuse your mind because you will be thinking about that rather than, can I be married to this person for the rest of my life? And so you need to stop and then look at that, pray and fast and say, of course, repent, pray and fast and ask God, God, is this the person that I'm supposed to be with? Are they serving the Lord? Are they honoring the Lord? Are they walking with me with Jesus? And then if that's a yes, get married, like next week. Get married next week, because there's no way that you can stay pure for 2 and 3 years. Y'all ridiculous. And so, come on. And so, let's be honest. And so, we want to get the picture right. We want to make the picture correct. And so, have a small, tiny marriage, and then 2 years throw your 2 year palooza, and then just bam, party, whatever. But like, honor the Lord within that context. I know in our culture, more than ever, it's just saying, just do what you want, don't get married. And it's not even like, marriage is not an old-fashioned thing. It is a Jesus thing. Marriage honors the Lord and displays the picture of Christ. And so we're to do that as believers. Amen. It's a biblical, yeah. It's a biblical concept. And
yeah, and if you are single, hey, it's, even though like Tony Evans said in the past, suppose you did mess up, sexually, the Lord is able to cleanse you. He is able to make you new, and you can wait for that man, mm-hmm. or that woman, and use this season, the season of singleness, just to really go all out for the Lord. It's probably like one of the best times of your life right now, just being single, where you can just, there's no boundaries, and there's no, you can just go all out for Him. And just use this time to really allow the Lord to develop you in that time, in that season.
Right.
And just to believe that, hey, look, God has someone for me,
And Jesus completes us. He Amen. Completes us better than a spouse will all the time. And so we encourage just to live within the parameters that God has set, because they're good for us. And I think I didn't understand that when I was younger. But now, as, I'm looking back on the picture, I'm saying, wow, I get it. And there's such forgiveness too, right. Whenever we mess this all up and stain everything in our whole lives, there's such forgiveness, but we don't want to cause the problems of it,
Amen. So what do you do? What are some tips? We'll hopefully give you guys a few tips to better your marriage and to strengthen your marriage, and we're going to look at that. I would say the first thing is to prioritize. Put God first in your marriage. Yeah. All right. So number one, numero uno, is you put God first in your life. No one else, not your spouse, not anybody else. God is number one. Because if God is number one, then you will have the love, and you will have the kindness, you will have the gentleness and the forgiveness that you need to love your spouse the way that God wants you to. So numero uno, God is first in your life. The next spot is your spouse, not your children, not your job, not your hobbies, not anybody else, is your spouse. That, in a God-honoring way, that is the way it goes. And then your children come third, and your job comes fourth, and hobbies and all that, they all fourth and fifth and so forth and so on. But God first, your spouse second, your children third.
Right.
And of course, your children and your other family third, but then everything else has to be last. And that's one thing we're going to talk about, prioritize.
I think it's important, because sometimes our kids come in to the marriage. Ours came in rather quickly, like in a day. And so we get four kids. And so that was really hard for us because all of a sudden we have an instant family and kids that we had to like really, you know, love. And, and just there was, you know, there's seasons where those kids, you know, like can get really in the way of us. And so the better us, the better picture of us is when we put God first and then us, because then we're better for our family. If we're operating in the same way, in the same love for God and then love for each other, it's good for them. And they don't always have to, like, our little girl, she'll come in between us and she'll, you know, I need my attention. And she does. But, you know, that we need to make sure that we're honoring, you know, if you have kids, that you honor the spouse rather than the kids, because they know that you love them. And the best thing for them is to have God-honoring parents and that love each other, too. That's the best thing. That was the best thing for me growing up as a kid. My parents loved the Lord, and they loved each other. I mean, I was so stable. I didn't know that this world existed of not, because that's what I went home to every day. I went home to parents that loved the Lord, and I went home to parents that loved each other.
Amen.
Not perfectly, but they loved each other. And so...
Yep. So yeah. No one else gets that number two spot. It's your spouse. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I would say the next thing is communication. Communication is very important.
Yeah.
And there are so many different things about communication. You know, guys, we think differently than women. How many guys know that? Amen.
All Amen. Right. We got some clapping. It's okay if you want
to. It's cool because it's beautiful. It's the way that God made us. And so you didn't marry yourself. You didn't marry enough. You married someone of the opposite sex. You married, you know, if you're a man, you married a woman. If you're a woman, you married a man. They are not like you. Amen. But that's the very thing that drew you to them, right? Because they are so opposite. But sometimes this can bring some problems and some issues in communication because we think totally different. So just to kind of give you guys a little example here. All right. So we have this box, right? Just a regular old box. But this is how guys think, all right? I'm serious. We pick up our box of work, and we will work diligently, and we will work hard, and we will give it all we got, and then whenever we're done with work, guess what? We put that box down, and then we are moving on to something else. What's the next box? Maybe family. You pick up that family box, and you're intermingling with your family, and then when you're done with that, boom, you put that down, and you grab something else. You grab your next box, right? That's the way we think. But it's very different than the way that a woman would think. And let my wife explain because
All right.
I don't
so
get it.
So a woman does not think in boxes. She thinks like this, wires. These are like a lot of wires. You might need to help me just put that. There you go. It's a little bit heavy. And this is a woman's thought process right here. And she thinks all over the place and communicates all over the place. And if you're a lady, you probably know what I'm talking about. Everything is connected to something else. And so I could be talking about this person, and then that brought me back to 3 years ago whenever this person had this and then that experience when I was eating that at lunch, you know, 12 days ago. And so my mind works like a spaghetti noodle. And wires. And so whenever I'm trying to communicate this amazing thing to Ted, he's back in box land. And I'm trying to talk to him, and he's thinking, I just want to eat a burger. And that's what men will do. They will just sit there and eat a burger. And there's never a moment in my life where I'm just like, I'm just going to eat a burger, and that's all I'm going to think. What are you thinking about eating that burger? And I'm thinking, that's so weird to me, because I am thinking about the pickles that are on the burger with the what kind of cheese it, and he's just thinking about, I'm just going to eat my burger. And sit there and eat my burger, and it causes communication issues.
It does.
This causes communication issues because I want him to think like me because I think correctly, and he probably wants. Amen. All the ladies said amen, and then the men probably want.
The men just want a direct answer. They ask a question. I want a direct answer. Give me an immediate response. But a lot of times, what will happen is like the question might begin right here, you know, like with the wife. But eventually, she makes it all the way down through this little loop-de-loop and a couple of circles, and maybe eventually it comes back
and it
answers the question, you know, that you originally had. I just wanted a direct answer. That's all I wanted, you know. But so a lot of times in my mind, I'm like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Maybe it's coming, maybe. And so we think totally different, but it's beautiful if you understand this. It's the way that God made you. I mean, not one is superior to the other. They're both beautiful in God's eyes. That's the way that we are created. So,
and not to change that. Yeah, so many, when our first part of our marriage, I wanted to change Ted to be like me. Like, it was the truth. And so I wanted him to be like me, think like me. And we had a lot of problems in the first part of our marriage because I didn't understand that Ted thought in boxes. A lot of the things that you don't understand when you're married, you know, you all of a sudden you're living together. You've got these four kids together. So we were looking at it and say, I don't need, sometimes, ladies, you just need to call up your girlfriends and say, hey, can you listen to my two-hour story about whatever it is? Because these people don't want to hear your 2 hours. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you and care about you. He does. He just doesn't maybe care about the two-hour story. And so, and then sometimes he needs to sit and listen. And I've learned, I cannot change Ted. Some things that I wanted to change about weren't even godly. It was not God's will for his life. And then other things that were, I stepped back and I quit talking, I quit nagging, and I just prayed about it. And I'm being honest. One example for us was adoption. Before we were engaged, we said, oh, I always wanted to adopt. That is not a big deal to me. I want to adopt people, kids. And so then he was like, I never want to adopt. And so as we were in our marriage, not able to have kids, I'm sitting there like, I'm ready, I'm not getting any younger. And so I'm sitting there like, let's adopt. And he's like, no. And so I just stepped back. And because I thought, God, if that's your will, I'm just going to quit nagging because men don't like women that nag. And so, amen. Yeah, there's some men clapping for that one. I knew it. And so anyway, so I just quit and stepped back. And I said, God, if that's your will for our family, you're going to do that will. And so, and of course, we were in Nicaragua and there were little kids playing around us. And there was this little girl, Barisa, and she would play. And every night, and at the end, Ted's like, I think I could adopt kids. And I was like, oh my goodness. But it was just because I had quit nagging and I quit, keep on bringing it up. And I just let God do his perfect work. And I know you do that on my end too. It's not just a woman thing. It's just, sometimes they're just not going to change because you want them to change. And sometimes they don't need to. And then when they do, God will move in that situation if you just put that before the Lord instead of just constantly bringing that to their attention, which they don't even think is a big deal. And obviously, our story. We adopted four kids. Yep. So not only did we do two, we did four. So amen.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Just put it in the Lord's hands because he can do so much more than we can ever do. Whenever we try to do it ourselves, whenever we try to make our spouse change, we try to, you're not going to change. Change them. We allow Christ to change them. Put it before the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord did change my heart. About adoption. Obviously, we have four beautiful kids, and I wouldn't change that for the world. We love those kids. I would say another thing about communication is learning when to keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's just a good thing to do. You ever heard the expression? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I mean, I heard it from my mom at least 1,000 times. It's also in Scripture. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved." Oh, someone got a phone call. "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." It says, "Saved our marriage." Just being slow to speak. In other words, not speaking from the top of your head, not letting them while they're in the big mess of these wires. not just going off on them and just saying, "What are you doing, woman?" And just but. Really being slow to speak, quick to listen to this two-hour story, is what the scripture would say. being quick to listen. Proverbs 15:1 is another good one, where it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath," but he says, "A harsh word stirs up anger." And just learning to speak with a soft word towards your spouse. Whenever I'm in a situation where I feel like it can be heated or it can be escalated, I ask God, I say, "Lord, how do you want me to respond in this situation?" I might pray that in my mind, not out loud, because Tara would be like, "What are you doing?"
Right.
But I would say, "God, how do you want me to respond in this situation?" And a lot of times he'll give you the answer every time. He'll give you the answer and the way to respond to your spouse where it would benefit them, it would help them, encourage them, rather than tear them down. And a lot of times it's like, just shut your mouth and listen or say, "I'm sorry." Basically, if it's telling the truth.
There's some good words, and "I'm sorry." Sorry. And
yes,
just,
those are very meaningful words, and so we don't say those enough.
Right. and just open communication and being honest, because they don't, you know, both ways. We don't know what the other one is thinking, and don't let bitterness fester in that. You know, like you're waiting for him to be Prince Charming, and he doesn't even know what that means. And so, he has no idea. And so, you know, we have this unrealistic almost expectation of a man and what that's supposed to look like, and I'm sure of a woman too. And so just allowing to communicate, you know, I used to cook. I used to think the best woman would be a person who, and I work, a job. So, and Ted doesn't even care if I cook. He has no care or concern at all if I ever cook a homemade meal. He would probably rather eat like ramen noodles than like really good ones. And so like for me, I'm slaving in the kitchen and he just, yeah, it's good. But, and I was like, well, you don't, you know, like this is the best thing ever. And like I spent so much time. And so we just had that communication and said, I don't expect for you to cook. And that really helped relieve a load off of me, where he was like, I'm good with cereal. I'd never met someone that was good with cereal, but amen. We're good with cereal at our house. And he, you know, like he doesn't, we just had to communicate those things. And they won't know, we won't know unless you tell us. I won't know. I live oblivious. And so, in most of my life. And so I don't know unless you communicate that to me, what that need is.
That's important, you know, just communicating each other expectations. What are some expectations in your marriage? What are you expecting, you know? And so it's just important, you know, that you guys talk this out. And there's, again, your spouse is not Christ. Your spouse cannot totally complete you. Right. So there will be unmet expectations for sure, because your spouse is human, you know?
Right.
And so they will fall short.
Yes.
But that's where you go to Christ, you know, and he will fulfill you, and he will satisfy you, he will sustain you in everything that you need. So there's a time to shut your mouth in marriage, but there's also a time to speak up in marriage. And I believe you have an example, or you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
And I always forget what the example is. I forgot last service too. Okay. I always forget what the example is. But just sort of voice your opinions and let God speak to you. And so, and I know one of the things that we talked about when honoring God and honoring your spouse, which we said to do first, is that just don't allow the enemy to have any place in your marriage, like that, where the enemy could come in through someone else. As we honor our spouse as a second place, you know, like for me, I cannot entertain a conversation from a man. You know, like I cannot entertain that where, oh, that man paid me attention. I wish Ted paid me attention, because then I'm not honoring the relationship with Ted. And you know, I don't know what that parameter looks like. I know we don't really go out to eat with other, you know, by ourselves with the opposite sex. And we try to keep that, just not have any entertainments, no entertainments of that. And I know at the gym, we forgot to add in that.
Oh, yeah. And so the way she honors the marriage is, you know, by, you know, not being involved in conversations with other men. But, you know, the way I honor the covenant marriage is, you know, I go to a gym, and guys, we're visually stimulated. It's just the way that God made us. It's a beautiful thing. That's what attracted you to your wife to begin with. In its purest form, it's a beautiful thing. But then how many guys know that sin came into the world and just really messed up everything? And so guys are visually stimulated. So what that means is, for me, even as a pastor, as a man, whenever I go to the gym and there's a woman who's just wearing tight-fitting clothes and whatever, I can't look at that. You know, I have to find it's the craziest thing, I look at a light, because the lights remind me of the scripture. It says, if your eye is single, then your whole body will be full of light. And so I always thought about that. I was like, well, you know what? I want my attention to be singly focused on my wife. And not to wander off and looking at other women or whatever. So I'm going to look at a light. It sounds crazy, but I'll look at a light. Well, are you looking at a light today? Well, I'm trying to iron God out of my eyes. You know, and so, or I'll look at a TV, or I'll look at something. You got to value your spouse, you know, as men. And so the Bible says, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, that you've committed the sin of adultery, is what the Bible says. And so we have to guard our eyes, guys. This is a real issue that each man deals with. But you guys, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And this is a battle that you can win. So just changing up some things in your life, you know, just choosing not to look at, or if you can't even be in that situation, you got to remove yourself totally,
right,
you know, then And that's something
we,
else.
We know people that just don't even have cell phones because it's that big of an issue for them. Hallelujah. They're keeping themselves, mm-hmm. you know, pure before the Lord. They're honoring God with their love right. and saying, hey, I know myself. Or maybe find yourself an accountability partner and say, first of all, confess it, but then say, can you hold me accountable? Because so many times we want to be like, oh, I can do this on my own, but we can't do that right. on our own. And so we need someone to hold us accountable because we're honoring God and our spouse second. Then we're learning how to communicate into the, all these different things. And the next one is just have some good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah, so continue to date each other. Continue to go out on dates. And we're getting better at doing this. And when the kids came, we kind of stopped doing it for a while.
Yes.
But we're trying to get back into a habit of just going out to eat maybe once a month or whatever. Just you gotta continue to date each other and then have fun together. And so we'll go to, on vacations and whatnot, and we'll have fun, you know, with us, and we'll just do different things. You gotta have fun together. You gotta keep that fire going, if you will. And then I would also say, you know, to have sex regularly together. And all the men are like, yes, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Pastor. But seriously, that is created by God, and it was created every time you come together, it's like a renewing of the covenant that you made between her and God. You're renewing that covenant that you made, and it also helps keep your guy from wandering any direction. He knows he has it good at the house. Amen. And so, anyway, do that. Yeah, have that regularly. Have fun together. Continue to date, and you know it's. I think if you apply these things to your life, you know, just good communication and prioritizing, you can have a strong marriage. You can have you're going to be 20, 30 years down the road, 40 years down the road, whatever it may be. And you can say, wow, you know, this really has helped my marriage. This has really made a difference. And so we hope that that would be the case, and we hope that you would be encouraged from this message.
Right. And so I think what the enemy is doing is he is attacking this area. He is attacking marriages. He is attacking our sexuality, which was intended to honor God. And the culture that we are living in case you do not know, is saying that what we just said is of no effect, and that's old-fashioned. But what we have just said is biblical truth. And biblical truth does not change or bend for the culture. It does not. There's never been a time since Genesis until Revelation, which is the end, that there's going to be a time where biblical truth bends to the culture. We are to bend to biblical truth. We are to display the picture of Christ. And you say, but Tara, I've already messed up. I've already done something. You've already stained the dress. And I think probably most of us in the room in some form or another have stained the dress. If we're honest in this way, I know that I'm standing before you and have just done and looked at things and said, you know, like entertain things. And so what happens is that God can make you new. Remember the woman caught in sin? She had five men and one wasn't even her husband. And what did Jesus say? He says, go and sin no more. See, that's the thing. You can't look at what used to be stained. Isn't this much more beautiful? This is a better dress. Amen. This is a beautiful gown that we found at the thrift store. We are selling it. So if you want it after service, come talk to me. But and so that was a side note. But this is a dress beaded from David's bridal. That was from David's bridal. That gets you about $100. This is a $1,500 dress. $1,500 dress. And you know what? It's beautiful and it's beaded. And that's what God does. That's what God does in our relationships. You bring that before the Lord. You confess it. Now, it might hurt. It might hurt, and there might be some issues. And we're here, like for counseling, or if you have a confident brother or sister in Christ, go and talk to them, help them, have them hold you accountable. But I'm telling you that Jesus can make you new, that he can make you the bride of Christ. And then also that you stop the staining. Does that make sense? Because if you don't stop it, marriage is not going to help the stain. It's just going to make it get worse, because if you don't get healed from the stain, whatever that stain was, and if you don't quit the stain, whatever that stain is, it's going to come right onto this dress. It's going to come right onto this dress. So you've got to be careful and say, you know what? I need God to heal me. And not just to heal me, I need some accountability. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? We're going to pray over you. And we know this is a different kind of message. So thank you for coming today. But we felt like the Lord was just saying he's attacking marriages. The enemy is. And he is attacking your singleness if you're single in the room. And he is wanting us to stain up the dress. He's wanting the sustain the picture that he has displayed before us. And so he's just reminding us again. He's just reminding you again, hey, your singleness is a picture of Christ, and your marriage is a picture of Christ. And guys, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be pure. And so today, maybe you've messed up and you have a stain, and you know that. Or you keep on putting stains on, and you know that. And you know it's ruining your life. The consequences are ruining your life. They're ruining your marriage. They're ruining your singleness. You don't even think correctly because of what the stains are. And you say, you know what? I need to get rid of that today. By every head bowed and eye closed, would you just say, just confess that unto the Lord. God, we lift up, God, our stains. God, we lift up those things that have polluted our lives. God, those things we thought the world was saying, oh, you can do this and there'll be no consequence or no problem. And God, all we've done is just made a mess. God, we have just made a mess of our lives. And God, we have made a mess of the picture of Christ. God, and I pray, Lord God, we pray for forgiveness. God, that you would forgive our sins. God, those sins that we have committed, God, sexually. And we ask, Lord God, that you will give us the power and the strength, God, to live correctly, to live honorably, God, to honor you with our love this morning, God, that when we walk out of the door, whether we're married or we're single, God, that we will honor you with our love, and God, and that you will give us the power and the strength to do that, because we can't do it on our own. But God, I pray, Lord God, that we would get some accountability and we would honor you with our love, and God, that this would be a display to the world, God, that our lives would be a display to the world of the picture of you and us. And God, you are committed. You are faithful. You're a covenant God. That means you keep your promises, and we love that. So God, help us to do the same inside of our relationships. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We love you guys. We pray that you go out there and honor God with your love. We'll see you today, Hope to the Streets, at 4:00. If you want to talk and just call us, you know, message us, one of the pastors will be loved to talk and sit down with you and help you if you need some help in this area.